I wonder if that's why he doesn't even try to do the work of the Lord in the sense where I used to think he was still being proud in verse 28 where he's avenging his two eyes. But I wonder if he's in such a place where he feels, Lord, I can't even be used for your work. Just let me do this for my two eyes and I'll die with the Philistines.
We see it also, we mentioned Samson, we mentioned the prodigal son, losing absolutely everything. And we mentioned also that sometimes the Lord needs to bring us to that state personally, that where we lose absolutely everything, to realize how much we need Him and how little we are. But the greatest part of this all is the Lord does it out of love, out of pure love for us.
And it says at the end of verse 30, He slew more in His death than He had slain in His life. And in His death, He didn't have to touch them. He wasn't defiled by killing all of them. But all of the people He killed in His life, He was defiled by everyone.
It's just, it's the last thing He says in verse 30 is, let me die with the Philistines. And this was the one who was consecrated. The Nazarite of God says, let me die with the Philistines. Mm. And we see where one who was supposed to be a Nazarite, who was supposed to be holy and set apart for God, comes to this end where he's dying with the uncircumcised Philistines, and he's dying with these unclean, unholy people. And it's, we see where sin brings us. Mm. And this is the end result, is that where he wants to die with the Philistines. He wants to kill them, and it doesn't matter if he dies too. But it's just to encourage our hearts that he lived a life of faith, and God honored that. And we don't see it in what's recorded of his brief pictures of his life, but God saw the faith in his heart, and God honors it. And it says in Hebrews 11 that those that are mentioned there, that of whom the world was not worthy. Mm. So Samson was one who was, the world was not worthy of him. Mm. And it's such an amazing thing that God would record that of him. And it's an amazing thing to think that the world didn't deserve him. And the world was not worthy to have him. It's just an amazing thing, and how wonderful that someone that we read of with dying in this way and who ended up in this way, that God still saw the faith that was in his heart, and God honors it.
I think it's important to recognize one thing here. We talked about David before, the consequences of his sin, and I think what we have in the last few verses are the consequences of Samson's sin. But there was repentance. David was one. He repented mightily. And the Lord, you know, took him back and he walked with the Lord, but he still had to deal with the consequences of his sin. And we will have to deal with the consequences of our sins. That doesn't mean the Lord has departed from us. That doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love us. That doesn't mean the Lord has left us. It just means that, well, I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. And Samson, I think, realized, well, I brought myself to this place. This is my own fault. The Lord was with him and in a mighty way here, but yeah, he has to pay for his sins, and so will we. The Lord won't always take away the consequences of our actions. He'll help us to have the strength to deal with them. He'll help us to get through them, but they're still ours to bear. But Samson died serving the Lord. He died liberating his people and bringing God's judgment. And he was taken from that place. His body did not lie with the Philistines. He was taken from that place and buried as a judge of Israel.
That's what I think is really neat, too, about how his story ends in verse 31, that the brethren of then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol. And I'm just thinking, where were those brethren during his whole life? Every single relationship Samson had was with a Philistine woman, and every single one of them ended with someone trying to kill him. And the only relationship we ever really read of him having with anyone from Israel, besides his parents, is with the men from Judah, and all they wanted to do was tie him up and give him to the Philistines. And so there's a lot of things to feel sad about in Samson's life, and one of them is how lonely he was, and how he had no relationship with the people of God. And I think it speaks to us personally. We talk about how we need to have... We talk about all these failings in Samson's life and how he was relying on himself and not on God, but he also was neglecting the people of God as well and relying only on himself and not all these brethren that were willing to help him when he recovered. And as believers, I think that's important for us as well, to not only not just rely on ourselves in the sense that we're neglecting God, but also be sure that we're not neglecting the help that our fellow believers can give to us. But like Joey said in the end here, it's really nice that after all of this, he says, "Let me die like a Philistine," but there's still recovery, and his brethren come and bury him. That the saint, that after all of this, that there is recovery, and there is again communion with the saints after he repents.
And it's full. And he goes back to exactly the same place where he started.
That's right. And he goes up.
Yes.
And he still came up because he was down.
Mm. And that's the grace of God, you see. The loneliness that Samson experienced was because he spent so much of his adult life in the area of the Philistines, looking for love, looking for natural affections that was not to be there. And so his brethren, you know, this place where he began his life and ended his life, this was among the tribe of the Danites, and the inheritance is there. And see, young people, God is gracious to us because he is a great God. He is, you know, his son has given his all for us. He is not going to even give Samson the wish, the last wish that he had. Let me die with these people. No, you're not going to die because you're not with these people or of these people. We're going to bring you back up, Samson. And in spite of weakness, and you see, I think the lovely point is this, that we recognize in ourselves, like Samson, that we are but men. What makes us different is being obedient to the word of God. And when we are obedient, God blesses that. But even when we fail, God in his sovereign grace and mercy says, this person, this child belongs to me. And he brings us back, and in death, he has his final part in the inheritance that was given to the children of Israel. So we want to just close on that positive line that the law of the Nazarite is a very high, lofty calling. It is, and let's remember those principles in Judges chapter 6, Numbers chapter 6, that one, it is really self-denial from the influences that are outside of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Anything that, even legitimate things that would have us to be under its influence, we need to be mindful of those things and have those things in its proper place. Then the subjection to the authority of God over our heads, taking that humble place, because when you are under the authority of someone else, you don't walk around saying, I want this, I want that, I want her. No, it is to be under his authority. And then also to be able to recognize the dead things and not to find ourselves connected to them, because they will entrap us, as we saw with Samson. They bound him, they afflicted him, they ultimately put out his eyes. No spiritual foresight any longer. And it costs him his very life, even though God in grace and his sovereignty and his government came in judgment upon the Philistines. So let us as young people rise in this day and age to this very lofty calling to be spiritual Nazarites and to live in the good and the energy and the strength, because ultimately we began with the thought of, where does our power come from? Delilah says, tell me the secret of it. The secret of your power and my power spiritually is being subject to God, his word, and living in the energy of the Nazariteship that he has called us to live out in a practical way today.
Tony, sorry, what you said about what was said just before about the family, I think is another thing we need to take away from this. In Galatians chapter 6, I'll just read verses 1 through 5. It's not just that Nazariteship is for ourselves even. We've said before that when a Nazarite is faithful, then it's a blessing to everyone. And when a Nazarite is unfaithful, then we all should be mourning. And so it, just in the context of the church, you know, if we call each other brother and sister, Galatians 6, verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, meaning you who are living as Nazarites, should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load.
Mm-hmm. Amen.